Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of Kenny, is anything about the role and how you work together changed at all this season?
No, nothing at all. I'm the coordinator, and I work with him out there. Sully and I do, I think, a really good job of, if I talk to him on the field, I quickly tell Sully what I said. If we had a meeting, he tells us we want to do a great job of having one voice, but there's nothing at all changed. Kenny and I have known each other, got a great relationship. Sully and I got a great relationship. All we're trying to do is find ways to be more efficient, and that's all we do every week.
So the Jordan Schultz report that Matt Canada is further working with Kenny Pickett, who is his quarterback. He's the offensive coordinator. They should be doing that on a day-to-day basis to begin with. That relationship was further expounded on, and that they are indeed working more so together, which they should have been anyway. It's just a bunch of bogus. It's bogus. It's just something that isn't true. Matt Canada has said it. Kenny Pickett, Mike Tomlin. And it seems like it's just a whole bunch of nothing. That basically, in anticipation of the Steeler game, riled up a bunch of fans, riled up anybody that would listen, and continue to try to pile on Matt Canada and throw on more reasoning for people to discredit his position as Steelers offensive coordinator. One thing that does not make that much sense to me is the usage of Darnell Washington at tight end. If you look up Darnell Washington's stat page on ESPN, it just says no available information. He has made two starts. Steelers have been announced and have started out the game in 12 personnel with two tight ends twice, with Washington and Pat Freiermuth. Washington doesn't have a catch. I don't think he has a target. 6'7", 260, for an offense that does not really have that much of an identity, started to find itself in the game against the Raiders, really just putting sustainable drives together. And a lot of that was Kenny Pickett getting on the move. Play action was actually utilized. Something that has been so unbeknownst to the Steelers, using play action, rolling out, getting Pickett moving, using one half of the field, and he was able to do that to find Pat Freiermuth in the end zone for the best Steeler drive of the year to help pad the Steelers' lead and really help the Steelers win that game against the Raiders, which offense down the stretch wasn't very good. Three and out, Raiders scored. Decided to kick that field goal. It was a horrible decision by Josh McDaniels. Instead of just going for it, be aggressive. Being aggressive in sports is what wins. But instead, the offense did show something. Pickett rolled out, found Allen Robinson in the flat. First down, game over. And it's going to be a challenge going up against C.J. Stroud this upcoming week, the Ohio State quarterback. But before we do that, I want to go out to the phones and my guy, Roland. Roland, what's up, man?
You're the greatest, Austin. I love you so much. I cannot stop thinking about you, the fan, and calling in. Here's my take, if you want to have a take real quick.
Yeah.
Number one, the Steelers are screwed up on their division of labor. You nailed it about Mount Washington. He can't be stopped. 5-yard pass over the middle or run a rub route with little Calvin running off of Mount Washington. Calvin can't be covered. He's elite. He's the next Antonio Brown. I hate to say that word, AB. May God rest, you know, have mercy on my soul for making a comparison. The other guy that needs to get some snaps is Nate Herbig. He is nasty. Put him at center or put him in for right guard. We need to see him, Broderick Jones. They need to put the elite players they have and get them touches. Pickens, they start showing a little glimpse. This is the game that's going to save Matt Canada's career. This game is going to get a blowout. C.J. Stroud's had a great three games. Kenny's had the fight against Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby. They finally got Kenny moving, tucking the ball. They're starting to figure some stuff out. There's more people than Canada calling the plays. This is the game that saves Matt Canada, that saves Kenny's future as a $300 million QB. They have to make the step. They have to be 4-1, 2-0 in the AFC North, 4-0 in the AFC. This is the breakout game. They have a little bit of breathing room, and they're going to get 7 or 8 sacks against C.J. Stroud, who's looked great against nobody.
Yeah.
Wait till they turn these edge guys loose. Keanu Benton is an animal. Desmond King needs snaps. Joey needs snaps. They got to start putting the best guys out there. Forget all these sub packages, all this confusion. Just get the ball, simple plays, and let these guys. They have elite weapons. Jalen Warren's emerging as an elite weapon. Let these guys get the ball in space. They're going to either take it to the house, they're going to run people over, or they're going to get PI or illegal contact. Love the show. Love Craig Riley. Belated happy birthday to Craig yesterday. I'm not saying anything bad about Crowley today, about his mojo. Well,
that's a good thing. I'm sure Crowley will appreciate that.
I actually love Crowley. Don't tell him that. Please don't let him know that I really do like him. And the Doran and I had a beer together a couple years ago. I love Doran, but you're the future. I'm the best.
I appreciate the compliment, Roland. I appreciate the call. You make a lot of great points. And overall, yes, it is important for the Steelers. At this point, they would go to 3-1, as Roland was saying. They'd be 4-0 against the AFC. But yeah, it's challenging overall when you don't see Joey Porter Jr., Broderick Jones, because so many times in the past for the Steelers, the key first-round pick, second-round pick, third-round pick have been big-time factors. But that's not necessarily a bad thing that they're not. Yes, I want to see Broderick Jones out at left tackle, partly because he's better than Chukwuma Okorafor, in my mind. Do we truly know that, though? I mean, realistically, he looked good in the preseason, but we discredited the preseason after the Steelers looked horrendous against San Francisco. And so many people on the station were saying, and myself included after that San Francisco game, we can't buy so much stock, push all of our chips into the middle because of what the preseason showed us and what the Steelers did going 3-0, 5 touchdowns on 5 drives for the offense, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we have not seen Broderick Jones in that many offensive reps against big-time players. But if you do want to deploy him, now would be the time. Because you don't have Max Crosby and Myles Garrett. You have Will Anderson for Houston right now, but he's a rookie. Dynamic, dynamic player. Very good player out of Alabama. That's why Houston decided to give up its first-round pick next year to trade up and get him. When Houston's probably going to have a top-5 pick, you could have potentially, if you were the Texans, kept your pick, played horribly, like you're going to probably do because you're the Houston Texans. Your division sucks. But you still are a young team that has not that much going for you at the moment. Some positive things, but you're going to have a top-5 pick. Just the reality of it. You're going to try to pair C.J. Stroud with Marvin Harrison Jr., who might end up going to the Arizona Cardinals, but they've won a game this year, to potentially pair C.J. Stroud with Marvin Harrison again from their college days would have been cool. But now, C.J. Stroud honestly looks pretty good. Would you take C.J. Stroud or Kenny Pickett right now? I take Pickett just because of experience. Out of college, I liked Bryce Young a lot better than C.J. Stroud. I don't try to buy into this whole thing that Ohio State quarterbacks can't play in the NFL. It can be a system thing, but on an individual basis, that's more so where you need to judge quarterbacks. Stroud, yes, did throw to Marvin Harrison, to Garrett Wilson, to Chris Olave to Ibuka, who are all going to be were first round picks or will be first round picks. Ibuka maybe a second rounder. Top talent everywhere. Ryan Day, great head coach. Ohio State, top five program in the country. One of the best in all of football. We know that. With Ohio State only being 3 hours away in Columbus. C.J. Stroud was named Offensive Rookie of the Month for September. Stroud, the first winner of that award for the Texans since 2017. Eighth player in the franchise history to receive the honor. How about some of the other players who have earned it? Steve Slayton? Dominic Williams? DeAndre Hopkins? And our buddy in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, in 2017. He was good in three games. 78 for 121. 900 yards passing. Four touchdowns. A passer rating of 98. I mean, C.J. Stroud's been good. He's been better than Bryce Young. Partly because Bryce Young hasn't been able to stay on the field with injuries. Stroud, though, here's the key number. Zero interceptions. He's taking care of the ball. He's not turning it over. Which for a young rookie quarterback against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's pretty common that you give the ball away. That T.J. Watt's going to get his. Would not be surprised to see an interception, a forced fumble. It's what Belichick defenses do to rookie quarterbacks. It's what Tomlin defenses do to rookie quarterbacks. The Steelers threw three games, currently at 2-1, looking to move to 3-1. So far in the AFC North, 1-0, with Baltimore coming up on the other side of Houston. Don't think the Steelers will look past Houston to get to Baltimore. DeMeco Ryans is a good head coach. I think the Steelers know that. They're playing decently well in a bad division, but they beat Jacksonville. That was a surprise to pretty much everybody. If you pick Jacksonville in a dynasty poll type of league that you have, or a survivor poll to hold on, somebody that you got to pick to continuously win to keep your season alive, Jacksonville was a sexy pick last week against Houston. And the Texans upset everybody. But the Steelers, through 3 weeks, have forced eight turnovers. Eight turnovers. That's the most since 2010. I would expect that to continue against C.J. Stroud. Damian Pierce, this is really surprising. Pierce was a guy that came on last year, solid player. Damian Pierce, 40 rushes, 100 yards. He's 2.5 yards per rush.
That's bad, Austin.
That's not good, Crowley.
They only have 200 rushing yards on the year.
They're a terrible rushing team. What? Against a Steelers run defense that's tied for 30th in the NFL. So, this is signaling good things for the Steelers in the running game. Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson, they did not play well the first two games, especially Levi Wallace. Patrick Peterson, after talking the talk and not walking the walk against San Francisco, played all right against Cleveland, was good. Other than that long touchdown pass early in the game against the Raiders of Devontae Adams, where he seemingly jumped in the air after Adams caught the ball. But yeah, Levi Wallace, two picks. Patrick Peterson had a pick. I would expect Minka to get one against C.J. Stroud. I just feel it. Minka Fitzpatrick will have an interception, and the Steelers will win this game. Let's talk about T.J. Watt. He took home some hardware. Coming up next, Fan Early Morning Show. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. Apply today at 84lumber.com. So T.J. Watt, yeah, we know how good he is. He is the Steelers' new franchise leader in single-season sacks, 81.5. That official number that it took to break James Harrison's record at home, Monday Night Football against the Cleveland Browns. For his efforts, he has been awarded AFC Defensive Player of the Month. He's been that good. NFL defensive player of the month. I mean, TJ Watt is somebody that just takes your breath away. You don't understand why he's this good. I mean, you can't understand it. Work ethic, drive, motivation, genes, being the brother of JJ. 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, a touchdown on the scoop and score with Alex Highsmith, 4 quarterback hurries in 3 games. I mean, we know how good TJ is. It's just continuing to be mind-blowing to me because he legitimately broke James Harrison's record in like 50 fewer games. And it's all a part of this Steeler defense that continues to lead the league in sacks and be a dynamic force alongside Alex Highsmith. So great for Watt. This is great for Highsmith, really, too. I mean, those two are the best two pass rushers. When you pair them together, they make the best duo in all the NFL, as Watt has been named AFC Defensive Player of the Month for September. Alex Highsmith has been great. TJ Watt has been great, and it's a big reason why the Steelers were able to win their last 2 games, and will be able to do so against Houston. Score prediction, 24-14. Steelers win it by 10. The pre-show is coming up next. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.